All right. Thank you, Pastor. Good to be here. Amen. I am glad to be saved. I'm glad to be in church this morning. I'm glad I live in a country where I can be in church this morning. Better take advantage of it while you can. I don't know what the future holds on the short view. I'm glad I know what the future holds on the long view. Amen. Let me read you a verse out of 1 Kings chapter 9, since it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. And here's what the Lord said to Solomon. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my commandments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail a man upon the throne of Israel. That's quite a promise. That's quite a promise, amen, to the son that'll walk in integrity. It's quite a responsibility for the father to set a good example. But the Lord puts a lot of emphasis on it, and he's our heavenly father. And boy, more than anything else, I hope he's pleased by our actions and our conversation and our spirit today. Because he's worthy, amen. I'm a dad. I've made mistakes. I have a father in heaven that never made any mistakes. And so, happy Father's Day. I'm glad you're here. And so let me read you this here. Since we're in Minnesota, this has to do with that mall. An Amish family made their way down to the mall, that big, giant four-story. Are you kidding me? Four-story mall you guys have. And they were amazed. They never seen anything like it. And they were totally amazed by everything they saw. But as the mom and a couple daughters went on their way, you know, the dad and his son, they never got out of the main part. They're totally fascinated by a silver wall. And the thing that fascinated them was that on occasion, the wall would part, and people would walk out, and the wall would close, and then people would walk up to the wall, and it would open, and they would walk into a little room, and the wall would close, and then they'd never come back. Amen. And they were, I mean, they're not even, they can't get away from that thing. And the boy asked Dad, he said, what is that? And the father said, son, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I don't know what it is. And they're just mesmerized, captivated. And eventually, an elderly lady, she hobbled over with a cane, and she got up to the wall, and she took her cane, and she reached out, and she pushed a button, and the wall parted. And she stepped through it, and the wall parted behind her. And they just, this is amazing to them. About a few minutes later, 5 minutes later, the wall parted again. And a good-looking gal, about 24 years old, she stepped out, and that father elbowed his son and said, son, go get your mother. I like that one. Amen. Luke chapter 19 this morning. Luke chapter 19. It's good to laugh, isn't it, in church? It's okay. It's okay. Amen. Luke chapter 19, and look with me in verse number 1. It says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. It doesn't say Republican. It says publican. He's a tax collector. All right? And then it says in verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Amen. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. What he got here is this man that by society standards, he's doing well. He's successful, Bible says. He's rich. He's probably not popular. I don't think that the tax collectors were any more popular back then than they are now. Amen. But then the people that, you know, if you're living to be rich, you really don't care what anybody thinks anyway. Amen. But there's a significant thing about this fella, and we see it in verse 3. It says he sought to see Jesus. Now, the Lord had been involved in his earthly ministry for a while now. His fame preceded him. He'd been doing things nobody had ever done before and things that nobody had done since. I mean, he was healing lepers and blind people and casting out demons, one of my personal favorites, and raising people from the dead. And everybody, no doubt, had heard of him, places he'd been. Maybe Zacchaeus' interest was piqued when he'd heard about the Lord's preaching. He came into his earthly ministry in Matthew chapter 4 with this message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I don't know, that sounds pretty ominous. Amen. I doubt if repentance was any more popular then than it is now. But maybe that got Zacchaeus' curiosity. Where we pick it up in verse 3, the Bible says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. That's a good question, a good thought to ponder for a moment this morning. Who was he? Who was this man, Jesus Christ? We're looking at it at the time in which our story takes place. So Isaiah the prophet had some things to say about him. And in chapter 53, in verse 3, he said he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. That's who he was. The angel Gabriel, in speaking to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And verse 23 there said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. That's who he is. Amen. John the Baptist said of him in John chapter 1 verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Pharisees over in Luke 11 said, and some of them said, "He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils." I mean, that's who they said he was. There's always been that crowd, and there still is that crowd, and they were wrong, and they're still wrong. But Zacchaeus, it says, sought to see Jesus, who he was. That sinner lady we talked about this morning in Sunday school, in John chapter 4, here's what she said. She said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ?" And indeed, he was. Matthew chapter 3 in verse 17, after the Lord submitted to the baptism of John, God himself said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Lord asked Peter in Matthew 16, "Who do you say I am?" And he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. And you know, the Lord in John chapter 10 said of himself, "I and my Father are one." Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who he was. And tell you what, people still asking that question as they're presented, amen, with the issues of life. Some say he was a con artist. I'll tell you what, if he was, he was the greatest con artist that ever lived. Because over 2,000 years ago, for a short period of time, he graced this earth with his presence. And since then, more wars have been fought over him, more buildings have been built honoring him, more songs have been sung praising him, more books have been written about him. The only supernatural book that was ever written is entirely about him. This man, Christ Jesus, Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who he was. And I tell you something, he was either who he said he was, or he was the most delusional lunatic that ever lived. Say, what do you mean? From the cross of Calvary, at his own execution, he said to a fellow next to him, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, he is either insane or he's God. And I'll tell you something today. Zacchaeus, the Bible records that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Billions and billions of people have come and gone since 33 A.D. when the Lord was crucified, and none of them are as thought about or talked about, or I dare say talked to, as much as Jesus Christ. People wondered back then, was he for real? Was he who he said he was? And boy, I'll tell you what, the Scripture records there's a bunch of folks that sure enough were hoping he was who he said he was, and almost 2,000 years later, people are still hoping he's who he said he was. You know why? Just by way of personal testimony, those years that I was lost and out there, you know what I really was looking for? It wasn't just the party. It wasn't just the fun. I was looking for something real. Something that I could dedicate my life to. Something that was worth believing in. Worth living for. And people are still looking for something real to believe in. And there's so many different opinions, so many different religions. Society's been lied to by Hollywood and politicians and religion so long, many wonder if anything's real. And you and I have the answer to that. And that's why it's so much more important that we walk it like we talk it. You hear me? Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus who he was, and I got to say that he's the realest thing that ever set foot on this planet, that ever drew a breath or spoke a word. But the best thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is not who he was, it's who he is, because he is the living Savior. Here and now it says in Psalm 24 and verse 8, who is this King of glory? That's good. I like the sound of that. Who is this King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle? He is the living God, and boy, I'm happy today that he is my Savior. I hope he's your Savior this morning, and he wants to be, and he did everything that needed to be done so that he could be. And boy, our prayer today is that you made it into our midst, and we're glad you're here for sure. But if you don't know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, on the authority of the Word of God, that the King of Kings is your Lord, well, it would be a privilege to open a Bible. Amen. Like preacher said last night, a man with a man, a woman with a woman, and show you what the Scripture says about how you can be personally introduced. He's much more than a historical figure, and he is that. But he's alive and well. He sought to see Jesus this morning. Let's pray again. Father, what a privilege it is to be able to call you that. And I hope you have a good day, Lord. I hope there's some folks that come into the family today. Here, other places where the Word of God is believed and preached. Father, I go to churches. I know folks. The Word of God is being preached all over the world. And I pray that today, God, that it would bear some fruit. That the Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that cometh to repentance. And I know that that would justify what you gave your Son to do, to give his life for us, that it's somehow worth it, that you endured the cross, despising the shame, to make a way for people to become your children. Father, I pray that today you'd move in our midst and that we'd move in yours. And I pray that you'd be pleased with everything that goes on both sides of this pulpit today, Lord. Help me to preach, Lord. I'm not up to the task. I need your help, and I confess it. But help the folks on the other side of the platform to hear with their hearts and respond, whether saved or lost. Lord, I pray you'd manifest yourself in our presence today, because we acknowledge that we need you to. We pray that in the magnificent name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. All right, so it says there again in verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and it says, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature, verse 4, and he ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And so he wanted to see Jesus, he came to see Jesus, who he was, he couldn't. There was a lot of people around. There was a crowd. Amen. The Lord, again, the Lord's fame preceded him. There were often multitudes. Zacchaeus, maybe he got there a little late, but he wasn't up front. He wasn't going to be able to do what he wanted to do. He wasn't going to be able to see Jesus, even though that's why he came out. And the Bible records that he put some effort into it. I'm going to say it here now. If he has the same ho-hum attitude a lot of folks do this day and age, he'd have said, oh, well, too busy, too crowded, I'll go on home, maybe I'll catch him next time. He never passed that way again. He couldn't get to Jesus, but look at what it says in verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, well, he couldn't get to Jesus, so Jesus came to where he was. Isn't that a blessing? It says in Luke 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. Came into the world to save sinners, and he said, of whom I am chief. Well, he's not chief of sinners anymore. He's on in glory, and you and I have been jockeying for position of chief of sinners ever since. Hey, you couldn't get to God, but God made a way to get to you. Amen? That's a blessing. The King of Glory came to earth so he could come to where you were to make forgiveness available to you. I heard a song. I know what you're thinking. Don't worry, not this time. But it went like this. It went, when I could not come to where he was, he came to me. And that song has a lot of meaning to me, because I didn't get saved in a church. I didn't get saved in a youth camp. I didn't get saved in a Bible, a vacation Bible school. I got saved in a county jail. I got saved in a cell. I was on my way out to prison, and a preacher had come and said, you got bigger problems than that if you die in your sin. Boy, and one morning, I took that King James Bible that fella gave me, and I laid it. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin. And I couldn't get to where he was, but he came to where I was. I got to go back to that jail 8 years later by special permission of the sheriff. And I got to go back to that jail and preach. And I asked him if they'd escort me to the old part of the jail where the cell was that I got saved. And I stood on the catwalk side, on the jailer's side of the bars for the first time. And I looked into cell number 2 in the range. And the guy was sitting in there, and he goes, what the blankety blank you looking at? And I told him this. I said, oh, I was just thinking about the day it got real crowded in that cell. And he looks at me and says, what are you talking about? I said, son, one day God got in there with me. Boy, when I couldn't come up to where he was, he came to me. Listen, my wife, she bowed her heart to Jesus Christ in her bedroom in a little suburb on the backside of Dayton, Ohio. My pastor laying in a rack in a ship on the United States Ponce in the Mediterranean off the coast of France. He laid there, and he was then at the end of himself in a life of sin, and he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. I'm going to tell you what, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Listen, I agree. I believe that the best place to come to Christ is at an old-fashioned altar. I believe the best place to respond to the Spirit of God is before you make a mess. Which just so happens to bring me to the fact that if you're in here and you're not saved, this would be best-case scenario. Don't make it take coming to the end of yourself. Don't make it take a jail cell. Don't make it take a hospital bed. Don't make it take standing at the end of a loved one's casket before you come to faith with the fact that we're mortal. The Bible said, and as it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. You know what it says? It says he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not. But then a couple of verses later, it says Jesus came to where he was. If you're not saved in here this morning, and you're searching for the truth, you've come to the right place. The search could be over today. Like the brother prayed, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. This is not another religion. This is Bible Christianity. We just believe where the Bible says Christ died for our sins according to Scripture and was buried and rose again the third day. Boy, we sing, it is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul this morning? You know, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it can be. Say, well, I've got problems. We all have problems. But there's one problem that nobody can fix. No amount of money can fix. Government can't fix. only Jesus can fix. And He can fix it by faith in what He did on the cross. Amen. It says there, number one, Jesus came to the place. And maybe you made it to the church house. But boy, maybe you need to meet the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He makes it easy. Man makes things complicated. Religion makes things difficult. Christ made it easy. Amen? All right, so then it says, and He didn't stop there, verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, He looked up, and He saw him, and He said unto him, He spoke to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I did a message for Daniel Stevens' graduation many years ago, now it seems like. Amen. And I talked about Zacchaeus. Said, come to the place. In verse 5, it says, he saw him, and he knew him, and he wanted him. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. I tell you what he did. He came to where Zacchaeus was, because Zacchaeus couldn't get to him, and he spoke to him. You know what he said? He said, come down. He said, come down. You know what? That's the way to Jesus. Now, Zacchaeus was up in a tree. And he said, come down for today. I must abide at thy house. But I'm going to tell you something. The weight of Jesus Christ is still down. Listen, I don't like mentioning this, but I was a dope head for over 20 years. I was a drunk for over 20 years. I was a professional criminal, whatever that means. And then I got saved, and I had all these problems, and somebody asked me, oh, Brother Spurgeon, did you get in on one of the 12-step programs? Listen, let's face it. I am way too impatient for the 12-step program. I mean, even the track is called He Lived Life in the Fast Lane. I don't have time to play around. I cut to the chase. I got in on the 1-step program. I stepped down into the presence of the King. Boy, I tell you what, I never been the same. I don't ever want to be the same. The Lord told Zacchaeus, He said, come down and listen. Listen, let me say it again. That's still the way to Jesus Christ. Whether it's from a position of thinking, well, I don't know what that guy's yelling about. Well, because that's what I do. I'm a preacher. Amen? Yeah, I don't share nothing. Amen. You think, well, I don't know why you're so upset. I'm mad at sin because it's taking people to hell. That's why I'm upset. Amen. But people say, well, but compared to so and so, I'm not so bad. Well, that may be true. You're not going to be compared to so and so. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You might be the best person in the community. But if you ever come to Jesus Christ, you're going to have to come down from that mentality. We gave out tracts. You do any personal work, and you might hear somebody say, no, that's okay. I'm all right. I've heard that many times. I got news for you. Maybe you're thinking, I'm talking about getting saved. I'm talking about coming to Jesus. I'm talking about making a commitment. And maybe you're sitting there in that pew going, boy, I didn't bargain for this. Well, good. You come to a place where we proclaim the truth with a passion. Why? Because we believe it. Amen. So how do you get away with that? Because most everybody else in here believes it too. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, well, I'm punching the clock. I'm doing my duty. I'm coming to church. I'm all right. I got news for you. I'm obligated to tell you that if your sins are not under the blood of Jesus Christ, if you're not scripturally forgiven, you're nowhere near all right. Amen. But you can be. But it might entail... Well, I'd say it's safe to say that it will entail coming down from whatever mentality has got you to the place where you think you don't need them because you need them. It's not church. Amen. It's Jesus. Some folks are going to have to come down from just flat-out, old-fashioned self-righteousness. Boy, I travel around, man, and I keep running to people that are riding a high horse of thinking more highly of themselves than they ought. You know, we claim to be Bible believers. There's some verses that address that directly. I hate to be the one to break it to you, but I got to say, you're not nearly as impressive as you think you are. Amen? Let me give you a poem. I'm Irish, and so this is an Irish poem. I modified it slightly for your benefit. You've heard this before. May the road rise to meet you. That means a lot to me. I'm an evangelist. May the wind be always at your back. It helps with the gas mileage, too. May the sun shine warm on your face. And that really ought to mean a lot to you guys in Minnesota. And rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, that'd be May of 2017, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. Isn't that, here's where you, here, okay, collectively. Oh, come on, I know you're thinking it. But I'm not done. The prayer goes on to say, and may your life someday be half as awesome as you pretend it is on Facebook. I'm going to tell you what, boy, there before some people can ever have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, they're going to have to come down from their self-righteousness. Amen? How about this? How about this? Some people just going to have to come down from rebellion. It bothers you, some of you, that I am raising my voice and telling you, you must be born again. You have to be saved. You don't like that. You know why? Because we're rebels. Yeah. Some of us, I can look around and pretty much tell, some of us, children of the 60s and the 70s, even, boy, in the rebellious spirit was rampant. I mean, just the fact that Jesus would say, ye must be born again. Some of us have such an aversion to being told what to do that we're just going to go ahead and die and go to hell in spite of what Christ. Let me tell you something. That's exactly what rebellion will do. It'll damn your soul. Some of you might just have to come down from your self-righteousness, your pride. Your pride will keep you from God and keep God from you. He said in James 4 and 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. But I tell you what, if that's what you need to come down from, you need to do it. If rebellion, the Bible says rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. I don't care how many times you watch Harry Potter. There's no way you can make witchcraft okay. It's of the devil. You hear me? And let me just insert, so are vampires and zombies and all that other junk that even some Christians have talked themselves into thinking, oh, it's just good fun. What? What? Maybe somebody in here, what you need to come down from, if you're ever going to come to the Lord, I mean, he'll come to where you are, but then it's your move. And he says, come down. And maybe what you're going to have to come down from is religion. Again, you do much personal work, you hear people say, well, that's what you say, but I believe. It's not what I say. It's not what we say. It's not what we think. It's what the Bible says. But people will counter the inspired, inerrant Word of God with, well, I was always taught. Well, or there's the bad one. I had somebody try to argue with me based on what they saw on a Discovery Channel special. Oh, yeah, I bet that's inspired. Yeah, but the Bible says that the world was made 50 million. No, the Discovery Channel said 50 million. Come on, man. Are you kidding me? I'm going to put it real simple for you. If how you were raised or what you were taught or what you think contrary to the Word of God, you're wrong. I'm going to say it as nicely as I can. You're wrong. And you better come down from that because you've got an appointment with your Maker. And if you're not saved, you're not prepared for that appointment. Amen. To come to Jesus Christ, even after he's come to where you are and offered the invitation to come to Jesus Christ, you're going to have to come down from whatever it may be that clouds your ability to see him as he is, the sinless, sacrificial Lamb of God that came to earth to make a way for mankind to be washed from his iniquities and transgressions. Why? Because those will require eternal condemnation, damnation, in a lake of fire and brimstone. Boy, don't let it happen, man. Don't let it go that way. Not from a pew in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Don't let self-righteousness or rebellion or religion damn you to an eternal devil's hell. Jesus came to the place. Then he said, come down. You need to ponder that. You need to think about that because it's Your move. It's like so often the Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. If we confess our sins, He will. Listen, He'll keep His part. But you got a part. And maybe what needs to happen for somebody in here today is to come down. You know, that's not all He said. In verse 5, He said, and when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Make haste. I know that. Make haste. Yeah. In the original English, that means hurry up. That's hard. That King James Bible is rough. I know. I'm going to try to help you. Jesus didn't come to the place and look up and see him in that sycamore tree and say, hey, Zacchaeus, you and I, we need to get together sometime. He said, for today, I must abide at the... Not one of these days. Not, hey, you need to think about this and we'll get together. No, he said, today. He said, make haste. And I'm telling you what he's saying to you and I today. He's saying, make haste. Listen, this, you need to act on this thing while you can. It says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I preach and people, I talk to people afterwards, and sometimes they'll say, yeah, I'm going to get saved. I believe what you said. I'm going to get it one of these days. Yeah. I mean, people put trusting in Christ on their to-do list. How can there be something ahead of that? In light of the fact that the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And I can't get past the verse in Mark chapter 4 where it says that Satan cometh immediately. He's moving right now. He's moving right now. I'm trying to, as best I can, which, amen, isn't eloquent or anything like that, but the best I can, I try to encourage you to gravitate to this thing, to get a hold of it. The fact that Christ died for you to make a way for your sins to be forgiven. And you know what? The devil's not sitting back there going, boy, I hope nobody hears it. I hope nothing happens today. Hope all these people that aren't saved end up in the hell with me. He's not doing that at all. He's moving. I'm going to tell you what you're doing. He's given reason after reason not to come to Christ. I've heard him. What will I have to give up? There was a fellowship track league track I saw right after I first started coming to church. And it said right on the outside, what you missed by being a Christian. That's what some people, that's what they're worried about. That's why they don't come to Christ. That their mind is full of things. Well, what will I have to give up? What will my friends think? You open that track up, you know, it says one word. My speed right there, my speed. Make it easy. Hell! That's what you have to give up. Yeah, that shouldn't be so hard. I mean, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to think, heaven or hell? Gee, I'm not sure. Well, you need to be. Amen. Because if you die without Christ, the decision is going to be made for you. Amen. I had a guy say, well, you know, I don't think I can live it. Live it. I'm a preacher. I've been on the road 18 years full time. I'm going to tell you what I've come to. I'm positive I can't live it either. Boy, I'll tell you what, if Christ doesn't live it in you, if you don't crucify that flesh daily, if you don't get in your Bible daily, if you don't stay sensitive to the Spirit of God, buddy, you can be as saved as you can get, and you can't live it either. You know what? I preach to empty pews that people prove that that's true because they thought they're going to put their confidence in their accomplishments or what they learned or what they did. And they weren't trusting in Christ on a daily basis. I got a guy said one time to me, well, yes, I don't doubt that, but there's some things I want to do first. Really? Again, man, none of us has a guarantee we're going to wake up tomorrow. What is it, amen, that could be worth? Nathan Bedford Forrest wouldn't get saved, went into the war, he told his wife, he said, no, I'm going to have to do things a Christian shouldn't have to do. You know, by the grace of God, that guy lived through the Civil War and eventually did come to Christ. But I'm going to tell you what, that's a dangerous mentality because thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon hundred thousands embrace that. Well, there's some things I got to do first. And they never get a chance again. Jesus didn't pass that way again. Amen? Good thing Zacchaeus got it while he could. I don't know what's going on here in life today, but I'll tell you what, if you know you're in need of salvation, you better get it while you can. That's all I'm going to say, and I mean it. Here's the scary one. Here's the scary one. Jesus said, make haste, but sometimes people don't. They say, I know I'm a sinner. I don't doubt what Jesus did. I'm going to get saved eventually, just not right now. You know what it says in Acts 24, 25? Felix trembled. Good start. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I don't find that after that Felix ever had a convenient season. I'm going to tell you something. The devil will make sure you never have a convenient season. No record Felix ever got saved. A good man, Agrippa. Acts 26, verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. These guys got close. These guys got the witness of the Holy Ghost from Paul himself. No record either one of them ever got saved. You might be close in here today. You're in the church house, man. Maybe you're a good person. Maybe you visited before. But if you're in here and you're not saved, you're as close as you're going to get till you cross the line, till you make the move, till you make haste and come down and trust Christ. And I wouldn't tarry if I was you any longer, because you might not never get a chance again. You know, almost, he said, almost thou persuades me to be a Christian. And I got to say, almost a Christian is not a Christian. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Being a good person doesn't make you a Christian. Christian upbringing doesn't make you. Christian education doesn't make you a Christian. Living by Christian principles don't make you. They'll make for a good life, but it'll be a bad eternity if you die without Christ. Only Jesus Christ can make you a Christian. Are you saved this morning? Zacchaeus, the Bible records, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You know what Zacchaeus could have done? I mean, here he was. He sought to see Jesus. We don't know why. We don't know what his motivation was. But he went to some effort. I mean, he got out of bed. I mean, he went to where Jesus was supposed to be. And then he went to some extra effort, and he ran ahead, and he climbed up in a tree. And here comes Jesus, just like he's doing today, just like he's presenting himself today. He's available, but it's your move. What if the Lord would have looked up and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down? What if he wouldn't have? What if he just stayed up there? I made the well in John 4, a type of the church. You can make the sycamore tree a type of the church. Being there doesn't get the job done. You got to come to Jesus. I fear people come to church all the time and don't ever come down and never receive Him. And if that's what's going on with you, are you going to stay up there in that tree another week, amen, hoping everything will turn out all right? It can't possibly. My preacher said this years ago, and I remembered it. He said, David, the wrong road never turns out at the right place. And if you're in here this morning, and again, we're glad you're here, but if you're on the wrong road, it's not going to turn out all right. You need to make a U-turn. Amen. You need to take the ramp to your left. You know, the GPS will say, take the ramp to the right. You better do what you got to do, because you can. He's here. I have a promise of that. And there's Bibles all over this room and people that can open them and take whatever time necessary and show you what you need to do. And you can come to Christ today. I've been preaching to Christians all week. If you're not one, I'm talking to you now. Amen? I hope you get it. Jesus told that kid to make haste. And let me just say this too. You might be in here and saved. Nobody would doubt that. It's by grace through faith, okay? You don't have to prove it to me. You could be sitting there today, but you know, you're not where you should be in your walk with Jesus Christ. Yeah, you punched the clock today. You showed up at church. I'm going to tell you what. The Lord says the same thing to you. Time to come down and receive Him joyfully. And here's what you say. One of these days, yeah, I got some things I want to do. But one of these days, yeah, I'm going to have children. I want to be a good example. Really? I'll tell you what. There is no telling who it is this message is for this morning. If you're not saved, it's for you. But there might be some saved people in here that have graced the church with their presence, and you know you're not where you should be with the Lord. And why don't you change that before you leave? That book says Zacchaeus came down and received him joyfully. Well, I preach every week somewhere, and I may get somebody to laugh at a joke or if I make a mistake, but I'm listening to the gospel preached, and I'm looking at faces that, boy, grieve the Holy Spirit. Boy, you can get the joy of the Lord back today the same way you got it the first time. But you might have come down a little bit. Let's all stand. He sought to seek Jesus, who he was. I remember when I did that. Boy, and he had to come to where I was. I had never been the same. And it wasn't magic. My flesh tried to go back, but I don't want to go back. And God put me with some other Christians, and first of all my wife, and others that provoked me to stay in the fight. The Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. And amen. If you need to come this morning, well, you know what to do, don't you? Listen to the preacher. If you're lost in here, say, well, I don't get it. I know right where I am. I'm on University Avenue. If you're lost in here, when it comes to eternity, you can get that thing straightened out today, and you'll never regret it. You can do something here this morning, like I told them boys yesterday, that will echo in eternity. Whether it's receive or reject, what you do here today will affect eternity. Preacher, you come.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes here for a couple minutes. Now, I can't make a more impassioned appeal to you than has already been offered you this morning. I can tell you and iterate once again that today is the day. You have an opportunity to get it sorted out today. And maybe you're one that has tarried and waited and put it off. Today could be the day. Now, I also promise you that if you'll come requesting salvation, looking for answers, I can promise you a private room, a discussion with a private individual, a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady, not a public display of humiliation or anything like that. I can promise you somebody will take you privately and show you out of the Bible how to be saved and how to sort it out. Is there anyone here that would come under those circumstances? Father, I pray that you might please help somebody here that's struggling with this matter. Lord, we didn't have a show of hands. We sometimes don't ply the crowd with manipulative type things to try to get an answer. Father, there may be somebody here this morning struggling with this thing. Help them to see this as the best of circumstances to get saved. It's much better than a funeral home or a sick bed somewhere. And Father, I pray you might help them to come. In Jesus' name. Now again, I offer you a chance to come. Is there anybody here that would come, lady or man, or child, that's never been saved, that would like some answers? I can promise you privacy. I can promise you some answers. Would you come? I got saved by walking down an aisle. How many of you got saved by walking down an aisle? Could you raise your hand? Probably a quarter of the congregation here. A lot of folks get saved on their bedside with their mom and dad leading them to Christ. A lot of folks get saved on the street, that sort of thing. And so there's no one place. But you've just heard a gospel message. I can promise you the devil will do all that he can to remove the import of that message from your heart as soon as possible. In fact, the Bible says if you don't deal with it, it's immediate. So I'm asking you, would you consider coming? Would you consider bowing your head and heart before the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, I'm a sinner and I'm hopeless because the Bible says that I am. It's not necessarily how I feel. It's not about my qualifications. It's not about my education. It's not about my accomplishments. The Bible says I'm a sinner and that I have no hope without Jesus Christ. And so I want to come and walk through the door. I am the door, said Jesus Christ. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. He is the way. There is no other way. There are not many spokes that lead to the same place. He is the way. Let's look this way and sing number 118. Number 118. Altar is still open. Invitation is still open. Say today could still be the day. Doesn't require church. Doesn't require an altar. Requires the gospel. And you got that. But I'll tell you, devil's going to work you over the rest of the afternoon. He's going to do all that he can to remove it immediately. If you're not careful, tomorrow you won't remember. And by then your conscience could be seared. Deal with the Lord Jesus Christ today. Okay? It's not a transaction that occurs in a place other than your heart. And there's no hoops you can jump through. It is a heart transaction. Amen? Look forward to seeing you back tonight. We hope to be back at 6. Service is at 6. We'll have a brief prayer meeting at 5:30 for ladies and men separate. We kind of get off in a side room and pray. We hope you can come for that. One more meeting. It's been really, really good. So I hope you'll stay in prayer this afternoon. and we'll meet them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you did for us. And we can't conceive the cost. We can't conceive the darkness that the Lord Jesus Christ walked through those hours that he suffered and bled on a cross and under the hand of wicked men. We can glory, though, that he rose from the dead and offers us the fullness of something that we have a hard time even comprehending. Father, we look forward to knowing, and we do know, and we look forward to realizing what eternity will hold for us. I pray, Father, that you'd help all here to take a moment and reflect on a lake of fire as compared to a glorious eternity. I pray that you'd help us to realize it, get it in our heads and hearts, do something about it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good morning.